الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تطرد الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ما عليك من حسابهم من شيء وما من حسابك عليهم من شيء فتطردهم فتكون من الظالمين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لعجمي على عربي ولا لأحمر على أسود ولا لأسود على أحمر إلا بالتقوى أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, my young friends, and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We might be aware of the recent incident that took place a few days ago in our neighboring country, United States of America, where one African American brother was executed and shot by a police officer. And this has become a big issue in the country, around the globe. A similar incident took place a few months ago as well. And this has been happening for many, many years in the Western society. Before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the entire Arabian Peninsula was engulfed in darkness of disbelief and kufr. People were not aware, they were not conscious of the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the entire society was indulged in evil vices. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this message came with a lot of goodness and a lot of barakah. Har taraf tirgi thi nati roshni, jab aap aaye to sabko mili roshni. There was darkness all over Arabia. There was oppression taking place. The stronger one would eat the weaker one. The wealthy one would suppress the poor person. The person who has influence in the society, who has a rank, a status in the society, would try to oppress the person who is considered inferior by other people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with the message of Islam and it abolished, wiped away, and eliminated all these walls that had been created by the people of Jahiliyyah. From very inception and beginning of Islam, we see, if you study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Islam came with the message of justice. And Islam came with the message of equality. Now, if you study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Meccan period, the Muslims were being persecuted, they were being oppressed, they were being punished, they were being pushed away by people. In that state, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so firm upon this message, because this was one of the fundamental message that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, and it made a huge difference to the world. With tawheed, with believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this was the fundamental message, that everybody should be treated equally. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in front of the Kaaba, and the majlis was taking place, some companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were considered inferior in the society, they were sitting around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As is the case with the person who stands up with the mission, it is always the weaker people, it is always the poor people who are around the person. This is what happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you study the biography of any prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, this, you will find this. And the stronger people will condemn and criticize the prophets alayhi salatu wa salam upon this. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was sitting around these companions, some of the influential Qurayshis, they were passing by. And they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said to him that we are ready to accept your message, but we have one request, one condition. And that condition is that you push away these companions who are sitting around you, and then we will come and attend your majlis and gathering. Who was sitting around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Suhaib al-Rumi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. These companions, Ammar bin Yasir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they were sitting around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when this condition came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the prominent companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave advice to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam that this is a good opportunity to bring these influential Meccans close to Islam. And Bilal, Ammar, and Salman al-Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they're ours. We can explain to them later on. Let's tell them to stay away from your gathering for a couple of days until they come and listen to your message. They come and listen to your speech. They come and listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will bring Islam. If they embrace Islam, this will have a very, very significant impact on the entire Arabian Peninsula. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was intending to do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down an angel from the heavens. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam came with the verse of the Quran, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. The O Prophet of Allah, do not push away those individuals who are sitting around you. Because these are those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. They are engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what? يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا, to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. The people you are worried about. What's going to happen to the elite of Makkah? The influential people of Makkah. They are going to go and burn in the fire of hell if they don't bring Islam. Just to bring them in the fold of Islam, you are trying to push away these insignificant companions of yours. Don't ever do that, because their hisab, the elite of Makkah, their hisab is not upon you, nor your hisab is upon them. Their hisab and your hisab is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will deal with them. If you do that, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, you will be from the oppressed ones. This is the mahol and environment created by Islam, by the Prophet of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the very beginning. And we look at the so-called progressive society of the West. We should know the history that for approximately 400 years, they kept people in complete bondage and slavery. They brought people from certain countries and they kept them in slavery for 400 years. Even though we don't find anything in the constitution, in the law of the country anymore, which discriminates between two different races and two different groups of people. But still, the impact and the effect of that racism still exists even today. This is why we'll see these incidents taking place around us. That in the hearts and the minds of the people, there is still a huge difference between one specific race and color, people with a specific color and another. This is why these incidents are taking place over and over again. And what did Islam teach us? Equality. Islam taught us justice. Islam does not teach us inequality. Islam does not teach us injustice. Islam does not discriminate between one group of people with another. If you look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, at the time of Fath Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is entering Makkah Mukarramah. You can imagine. Within 8 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was pushed away from Makkah Mukarramah. He was expelled from the city of Makkah Mukarramah. And he goes to Madinah Munawwara. He mobilizes his force. Within 8 years, he comes back and he conquers Makkah Mukarramah. Even the non-Muslim historians, they consider this to be a great, great achievement. And they say that we don't find any leader in the history who have conquered a place in such a short time. Within 8 years, he mobilizes a force, he comes back and he liberates Makkah Mukarramah. And you can imagine how proud he must be, how proud the companions must be. He is entering Makkah Mukarramah. He comes in and he destroys all the idols in Ka'batullah. And then he makes tawaf of Kaaba and he proves that this place will be exclusively used for Muslims only and only for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, he gives a historical khutbah and a lecture upon the door of Kaaba. The first sentence he uses in his lecture, you have to remember he has entered Makkah Mukarramah as a conqueror. And what happens today? When an event like this would take place, everybody tries to listen to the speech of the leader who is influential or who is involved in that event. Just as a few weeks ago when Hagia Sophia was converted into a masjid, everybody was curious what is the president of Turkey will say. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at this time, the first sentence he says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi adhaba ankum ubayyat al-jahiliyyati wa takabburaha. He says that I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all praises are due to that Allah who has taken away that pride and that boastfulness of jahiliyyah which people used to entertain back in those days. And he says that annasu rajulan. Now people are of only two categories. Barrun taqiyyun, kareemun ala Allah. One is the people will be pious and they will be noble in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wafajirun shaqiyyun hayyinun ala Allah. And the second category of the people will be those who are not so pious, who will be disobedient, they will be evil, and they will not be honorable, noble in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qaba'ila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, O people, we have created you from one male and one female. And we have distributed people into different clans and different nations. Why? لِتَعَارَفُوا. So you may recognize each other. You may recognize each other. Because it's so possible that 2 people, 3 people, 5 people, 10 people will have the same name. A person has a name, Ibrahim. Another person also has a name, Ibrahim. How will you differentiate between 2 Ibrahims and 10 Ibrahims and 15 Ibrahims? This is why you are given another name. This is why you have a background. This is why you have a specific color. Not because so that you can boast about it, that I belong to so-and-so family. I belong to so-and-so clan and I belong to so-and-so tribe. I belong to so-and-so group of people. I belong to so-and-so country. لِتَعَارَفُوا. Because in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are the most noble, who are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are the most honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Those who are the most pious. Those who are righteous. Those who are on the path of Jannah. Those who believe in Allah. those who believe in the Prophet of Allah and those who adopt the teachings of the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in reality, these people are the only ones who are honorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why you must have heard this story many times, that after the conquest of Makkah, the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the time came to give the first adhan. Again, this event will be the memorable, it will be written in the history. And people look for influential people to carry out that act. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Which companions? There was Abu Bakr sitting around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar sitting there, Uthman was sitting there, Ali was sitting there, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was sitting there, Abdurrahman ibn Auf was sitting there. These elite people who belong to the clan of Quraysh, they were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam did not choose these companions. Rather, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that, go call Bilal ibn Abi Rabah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said to him that, oh Bilal, go climb the roof of Kaaba and give adhan and call out the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. When Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu climbed the roof of Kaaba, there were some Qurayshis sitting together on one side. They started to talk about this incident, that how come Bilal is calling out the adhan. So one of them said that, I'm glad that my father is not alive to hear the voice of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu giving adhan today. The other one, Harith ibn Hisham, said that that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam could not find anybody to call out the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this historical moment other than this black crow, Bilal ibn Abi Rabah, and another companion, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had just accepted Islam. But he still had those evil traits of Jahiliyyah within his heart. So he said that, I want to comment on this event, but I will stay quiet because I am scared that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about it. And this is what happened. When this conversation was over, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically sent down Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam to give this message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This also shows the equality in our religion. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, who is considered the leader of all the angels, who is he coming for? Who is he coming for? For Abu Bakr? For Umar? For Uthman? For Ali? No, he's coming for who? He's coming for Bilal ibn Abi Rabah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what they're saying. Recite the verse of the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. This is what Islam promoted right from the beginning, like I said. And even in the middle, even at the end, this is why you must have heard this in the historical khutbah at the time of Hajjatul Wada. Once again, this is the last lecture given by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. A person, he gets old, he knows that he's not going to live in this world for a long time after this. And he says to the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that this will be my last lecture, so listen to my message very, very carefully. It is as if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioning, or he was going to mention, the gist of his entire mission of 23 years. At that time, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to the people that, oh my companions, listen to this very carefully. Inna rabbakum wahidun wa anna abakum wahidun. Your Lord is one and your father is one, meaning Adam. Your kullukum min Adam wa Adam min turab. All of you belong to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Adam was made from clay. Was made from clay. Ala la fadla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin wa la li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin. There is no virtue superiority for any Arab over the non-Arab. There is no superiority for any Arab over non-Arab. And wa la li ajamiyyin ala arabiyyin. And there is no superiority for any non-Arab over an Arab. وَلَا لِأَحْمَرَ عَلَىٰ أَسْوَدَ وَلَا لِأَسْوَدَ عَلَىٰ أَحْمَرَ. There is no superiority for a white person over a black person, and there is no superiority for a black person over a white person إِلَّا بِالتَّقْوَى, except for the quality of righteousness. If you inculcate taqwa and righteousness, piety in your heart, then you can become honorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not on the basis of different colors, which we see rife today in our societies. This is why, like I said, the incidents are taking place around us throughout the globe. That the people who are dark in color, they are being persecuted, they are being oppressed. Why? Just because they are black in color. Just because they are black in color, they are being oppressed by the white supremacists. This is what Islam came to condemn and criticize. You can see the stats yourself, that the white and the black, there is a huge difference when it comes to wealth, when it comes to the places and the areas they live in. The wealth, average white person and the black person, if you compare both of them, an average black person owns only 2-3% of the wealth a normal average white person owns. Only 2-3%. Why do you think we live in small pockets? People who are from Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi background, they live in one place. People who are from Africa, they will live in one place. Do you think this is a coincidence? No. This has been created. It's been planned. When it comes to job opportunities, education level and opportunity, they're treated differently. Believe it or not, this evilness exists even till today. Like I said, it does not exist in the law, in the constitution of the country. In the hearts and the minds of people, it's still there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came to abolish all this, and this is what Islam came to teach, and this is the beauty of Islam. That there is no difference between Abu Bakr and Bilal. There is no difference between Umar and Suhaib. There is no difference between Uthman and Salman. There is no difference between Ali and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. So what we can do is, first of all, make dua for all those who are being oppressed around the world. Number two, if you can do something staying within the limits of Sharia, maybe write emails to your MPs and put pressure on the neighboring country, you can do that. And try to be part of this cause as much as possible. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says very, very clearly in a hadith that please help the zalim and the mazloom. Help the oppressor and the oppressed. The Sahaba said, "How we understand how we can help the mazloom, the person who is being oppressed. We can go and help the person. How can we help the oppressor?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that you can go and help the mazloom by helping him, assisting him physically in other ways. And you can help the zalim, the oppressor, by advising him to do something good. So let us act upon this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and try to understand the beauty of Islam and this blessing of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us without any effort from our side. So we truly appreciate this bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been bestowed upon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.